Listen, there is a place in Messiah. There is a place. Say, there's a place. Jacob went to the place. That's where he went. You say, where's the place? Well, Abraham had gone to the place with Isaac. Amen. Jacob went to the place on his way up to Syria. Aram. In Scripture, Aram is Syria. Aram. And that's where the term Aramaic language came out of, Aram. Aram. The place. There is a place. Say, there is the place. God calls the place. And the place in the physical is the place where Mount Sion is. Sion, Sion, Sion. Halo Tishali. A place where God dwells. A place near to God's heart. Aren't you thankful that our president has named Jerusalem the capital of Israel? What did he do? Well, the American Family Association said he just turned loose the blessing of Abraham on us. Genesis 12:3, blessing is turned loose on us. I want you to know something. If you look back, you can find out sometimes when bad things happened, when presidents and their cabinets made decisions that countered Israel. We aren't speaking about dividing the land. We're speaking about one capital for Israel. We'll move our embassy there. Somebody says, oh, it'll take years. I just tell you right now, I don't believe it's going to take years this time. Remember, for over 20 years, presidents have been saying the capital needs to be Jerusalem, but that none of them would take any action, even though Congress had passed a law or passed an act back in 1995 saying that that should be so. Now some of the people that voted for that, and by the way, that was a landslide victory for that in Congress when it happened, Democrats, Republicans, but now some of the very ones that voted for it in previous times are criticizing our president for doing that. But praise God, thank you, Lord, for Donald Trump. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Donald Trump, our president. And I thank you, Lord, that you give him wisdom and an understanding heart. I thank you that you guide him in the way he should go. I thank you, Lord God, that you're refining him. You're refining him. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are, Eve and Adam were in the garden. God told them, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the next thing you see him doing. Hasatan comes in the body of a serpent. And incidentally, apparently the serpent used to walk upright. Because you remember what the curse was afterward? From now on, you'll slither in the dust. God said, don't eat it. They ate. When they ate, something awakened in them. It was the knowledge of good and evil, but it was the fleshly, carnal knowledge. To be carnally minded is death, right? But to be spiritually minded is life and truth. Life and truth. So here they had opened in them this carnal mind. They didn't have a carnal mind before. That's right. What does it mean when you say you have a carnal mind? It means your soul is in control of your spirit. Why did the soul get in control of the spirit? The spirit died. You say, how did it die? Separated from God. How do we see that separation in them running from instead of to God? They ran to hide. What was it that was awakened in their carnality? Shame. For the first time, they knew they were naked and they were ashamed. In fact, if you look at Genesis 3:7 in the New Living Translation, it says, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. What was it? Carnal mindedness. They began to be carnal instead of spiritually minded. God used to talk to them in the spirit. That's what it means when it says in the cool of the day. If you read that in the original language, in the Ruach, the Spirit. In the Spirit, He spoke to them. He spoke to them spiritually, just like He speaks to you and I now. So that tree of the knowledge of good and evil opened up a self-consciousness and paved the way for sin consciousness, which is a predominant religious tenet. Are you listening to me? This is not a world tenet. The world doesn't talk about sin. Who talks about sin consciousness all the time? Man-made religion. Man-made religion talks about sin consciousness. And some of our sister congregations have not been delivered out of this yet. They still go, that's where they live. That's where they live. All about, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. They'll sometimes get around to, I'm saved by grace. But the fact is, and say this with me, say, I was a sinner. I am no longer. I am righteous. Righteous through the blood of Jesus. So your consciousness needs to be a righteousness consciousness. When you were born again, your spirit was resurrected. That's right, he was dead. But now he's alive. And you've been made a new creation, spirit, soul, and body, redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. And your consciousness ought to be one of the tree of life. Amen. And that's righteousness consciousness. And that's where they lost it. That's what happened. But there's a place in him. And in that place, we talked about a little bit here this morning. Someone talked about our authority. A place in him where we abide, where we dwell. When you say abide, that's what you mean. You mean you dwell. Or even better than just dwell, settle down when you abide. I'm settled down in him. I'm embedded. And that gets into the verses in John 17 where he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be one even as we are one. Remember that? That's right. That's it. That they may be perfected in us. That's right. In the Echad. That's the place that we're talking about. That's the place in him, a place of knowing God. And when you know God, we've said this before, you know love because God is love. You actually know love. You don't just know about God. You know God. In fact, the word yada in Hebrew is intimate knowing. It's so intimate that God uses it to speak of when a man knows his wife and she becomes pregnant. Yada. Adam, yada, Eve. We know. What does that mean? Well, it's talking about intimacy, a knowing that's beyond just about or just facts, but it's a knowing. We know him. We know his love. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul said. That he said, I'll lay everything else aside for that, knowing him and the power of his resurrection. There's a place that's not in him also, though, isn't there? And you could be a believer and not be in him. Now, I want you to know it's available for you, but you cannot abide and be a believer. You can be a believer to the point that you believe that you're saved and not take the benefits of being in him. That's where your authority comes from. Did you know there's a lot of believers that don't believe they have any authority? You know, that's where the sovereignty teaching has so fouled people. God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to. Here's what they're saying. They're saying God can change his mind and lie. He doesn't have to tell the truth because he's sovereign. That's what people believe. They believe God changed. A lot of people believe that between Malachi and Matthew, God changed. But Malachi is the last book in the English Bible anyhow. Second Chronicles is in the Hebrew Bible. But Malachi in 3, it tells us, I am God, I change not. And I want you to know from the beginning to the end, he's never changed. And that's why we give credence to Torah, because God never changes. Now, what we recognize is that this Torah has everything about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We just hadn't seen it before. And so consequently, many believing Christians go around teaching that that's been done away. No, only part of it's been done away, and it was just done away because it's been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled in Yeshua. But I want you to know that the instructions of God are still incumbent upon me. I said his instructions are still incumbent upon me. I don't get salvation from keeping them, but they're incumbent upon me because I am saved, because I am a new creation. I walk according to the instructions of Torah. It doesn't make me righteous. I was righteous, but righteousness demands that I do these things. Amen. Do I do them perfectly? No, but then there's mercy. I don't get what I was supposed to get. But then there's grace. I do get what I wasn't supposed to get. Right? God is taking care of me that way. When we know God, we know His love. When we know and trust God, we know about love, but we do more than that. We actually have an intimate relationship with the love of God. What does it say in Galatians? It's not there. Thought I had it down here. I have it someplace. Maybe they have it. The Scripture tells us that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. Now, when it's shed abroad in your heart, that means you have intimate relationship with it. Amen? Say, I'm intimately related. And I can walk in faith because I know the love of God, because faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. Now, I want you to know something. If your faith's not working, check out your love walk. If you say, my faith's not working, check out your love walk. Do you view people like Jesus views them? Probably not. Are you supposed to? He says, you love like I've loved. He says, that's a new suggestion. Isn't that what he said? This is my suggestion to you. Is that what he said? No. He said, it's a new commandment. That's not a suggestion. That you love one another as I have loved you. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't have anything to do with your love, does it? If anybody could say, you don't know what they've done to me, God could say it. They've shaken their fists in my face, but I love them. I care for them. Amen. I do. I care for them. Everything about being in Him is about being in His love. Here's what it says in 1 John 2, 5 and 6. Whoever keeps His word in Him, the love of God is truly made perfect. The love of God is truly made perfect if we keep His word. If you're not keeping the word, then you won't love. But if you keep His word, you will love. Why? Because His word is where the commandment comes from. Did you know love is the great commandment of the law? Love God, love your neighbor. That is the great commandment. In fact, Yeshua said it to everyone. He says, if you want to know the first and most important commandment of the law, it's love God. If you want to know the second commandment that's very similar to it, you've got to love one another. Love. Loving people, loving God, the love walk or the faith walk. Say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, I love when it makes no sense. Isn't that a fact that a lot of times, in natural sense, it doesn't make any sense to love. But I want you to know that the Scripture says love never fails. Love never fails. I've had people actually argue with me about that. Oh, yeah, well, this time I did and it failed. No, it didn't fail. You just haven't seen the end of it yet. You just haven't seen the end of it yet. So we know that this is all about walking in the Spirit. Yeshua said, the things that I see my Father do, I do. What's he talking about? Walking in the Spirit. He said, the things that I hear my Father say, those are the things I speak. What's he talking about? Being in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. He's not getting these things in the natural. He's getting them in his spirit man, and he's walking them out, and that's what he's telling us to do. He says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, but I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Ruach, but the Ruach sets its desire against the flesh. Hey, Aaron, run down and shut off the heat down there. It's getting warm in here, isn't it? Is anybody warm? Nobody's warm yet? Must be 76. How warm is it, Jeff? It's right there above your head, or just to the right. 74? Well, maybe it's not. But it's building up. I can feel it building. I can feel it building. Maybe that's anointing, huh? Feel it building. Praise God. Did you get it? You know how to do it? No, not there. Just that little flipper that's on the valve itself. Just push it down and it'll slide backwards. Romans 5:5. That's right. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. It's always good to get the address down so you can see what I'm talking about, isn't it? So we can put it up and you can see it. Yeah.
And it's like I keep hearing through your message and stop complaining.
Yeah.
Stop
complaining. That's true.
Because if we are really wanting God's blessing, then what we are speaking is the positive.
That's right.
Is the blessing, is the joy.
Amen.
Being Eeyore and kicking the dirt and whining.
That's true. That's true. In fact, you know, we see that in the children of Israel. Their whining was what got them into more trouble than anything. It's what moved them out of faith, wasn't it? Murmuring is whining, right? It's what it is when we murmur, when we say things that are contrary. He says, if you live according to the flesh, Romans 8:12, you must die. But if by the Ruach you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For all who are led by the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. We're children of God. We're children of God. He says, walk in the Ruach, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. Amen. He tells us that whoever claims to abide in Jesus must walk as he walked in 1 John 2:6. Walk like he walked. How did he walk? We just talked about it. He just listened for the Father and then did what he did. Did he have a gift? Jesus had all the gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher were in him, and all of the motivational gifts were in him. Every one of them. In fact, the Bible says, because he spoke the word, he had the Spirit given to him without measure. Because he stayed and abided in the word, the Spirit of God was given to him without measure. Now I have a measure of the Spirit of God. You have a measure. Could be the same measure, could be greater in you, or could be less in us, you know. But it's not as much as Yeshua had. But we're moving in that direction. Amen? Now, last week, we talked about this area of being ready, and we talked about it in regard to 10 virgins. Say virgins. What does virgins mean? Well, in the Hebrew, the word is Alma. Alma. Alma is a virgin. And it's never translated, as some modern translations have done, as maiden. Or a young girl. It means virgin. But there were 10 of them. Does that make 10? Okay, 5 and 5. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Now, quickly tell me what made the 5 foolish ones foolish. That's right, they were not ready. And the way they showed their unpreparedness was, even though they had light, I want you to notice that they had light. They had lamps. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. They had lights. But what happened? No oil. So what happens when you have no oil and you have a lamp? Pretty soon your light starts to flicker. And eventually it goes out. We're getting down a little lower on some of these, aren't we? Some of them are getting down. But you know what? I have a whole jar of oil back there. We can keep them filled up. We can keep our lamps filled. The wise ones were the ones that had lamps. They had the light. Now notice they were all virgins. What's virginity speak of? No intercourse. What'd you say? Purity. It speaks of purity. It speaks of sexual purity, but it speaks of purity. And virginity is what God desires for all of us. Purity. Say pure. They were all His virgin daughters, but five of them had oil for their lamps, so that when they had to wait a while, how long did Joseph had to wait? 2 years, 13 years from beginning to end. These virgins had to wait for the bridegroom to come. And it went longer than expected. I want to ask you something. Listen to me very carefully, because you're going to, could call this a trick question. Was the bridegroom late? No, he wasn't late. He just didn't come when they expected him to come. And you need to think about this every day. Because there have been people since I was a little boy saying, Jesus is coming soon. Say soon. How soon is soon? Did you know I have friends? In fact, we have relatives that say, yeah, but they've been saying that for years. The fact is, He's coming. And He's not late. Say He's not late. He's right on time. He may be delayed, but He's not late. And you, if you knew the exact time, I'll tell you what people would do. I hear people say things like, you know, I actually heard somebody I know and love said this one time. You know, while I'm young, I'm gonna take it kind of easy. But when I get older, I'm going to start really getting serious about the things of the Lord. You know what that is? That's folly. Say folly. Folly. That is folly to do that. People think that they're going to do it. All they do is they set themselves in a pattern. And that pattern's hard to break. Hard to break. And so sometimes when they get older, all they do is just magnify the things that they allowed when they were younger. It's a fact. No, we need to stay ready. Say stay ready. We need to be ready. The five wise were ready, and they had oil for their lamp. What does oil speak of in Scripture? Anointing. Speaks of anointing. And anointing always speaks of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be ye filled. Or someone has said that the really Greek tense of that makes it, be ye being filled. So it's continual. Continual filling. And that's what needs to happen. If you could see the picture that's given in Zechariah here, you see the olive trees here? These are the olive trees. They're kind of separated now. But these are the two olive trees, and then in the middle of that picture in Zechariah, in the two olive trees, is the lamp of God. And in the Zechariah portion, there are tubes running from the olive trees to the lamp of oil. The oil is be ye being filled. It's being filled with the Spirit of God. And this is God's seven spirits. The seven spirits of the living God. Amen. They've talked about in Revelation. So you see, God in His pictures that He's given us in Scripture, yeah, it's a shadow of the things, but you know what? We learn from parabolic teaching. Why? Because we can apply it to something we can actually see, feel, touch, and, you know, sense. Sometimes spiritual things aren't made clear until we get back to the period of the shadow. We look at the shadow. What's really happening to us is we be ready. Say, be ready. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm staying ready. That's right. How do you do that? You stay in relationship to the Spirit of God. You stay in that place where the oil is flowing, where it's continually doing. The foolish one said to the wise, you give us some oil. It doesn't work that way. I can't give you my anointing. It is transmissible, but I can't give it to you. You can get the benefits of it, but I can't give you my anointing. What has to happen? You have to have a relationship with God so your oil flows. Amen. They said, give us some of your oil. And they said, no, doesn't work that way. And the way they explained it was, we'll run out if we give up our oil. Well, I don't believe that's the problem in the true spiritual explanation of it. But the fact is, each of us has to receive that oil for ourselves. And it's wisdom to do it. Say, it's wise. Say, I'm a wise person. I'm a wise person. Amen. Wise people in the Bible are people that build their house on a foundation, on a rock. Amen. Foolish people are those that don't have any foundation. So if we plug this into the virgins, what do we know? That the virgins were missing something in foundation, weren't they? The five foolish ones were missing something. The five wise ones were rock-founded. And so when what seemed like a delay to them came about, the wise ones said, we're ready. We're ready. The foolish one said, uh-oh. And you remember we talked about some of the excuses they might have had. You know, well, I meant to go and buy oil before I came here. But I got busy. I had so much going in the world, and this is the way a lot of believers are nowadays. The world occupies so much of their thinking that they forget about spiritual preparedness. This is where we have to stay wise. Say wise. The wise virgins kept their lamps trimmed, and they kept plenty of oil on hand. And that's what we need to do. What happened? Well, when the bridegroom came, verse 10 of Matthew 25 says, but while they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came. Right on time. I added that. But he was right on time. And those who were ready, say ready. They were ready. What does ready mean? They were prepared. It means that they had everything that they needed for the moment. By the way, where do you get your oil? What's that?
I just felt like the Lord was showing, because I was just asking that question. I felt like the Lord was showing that worship produces oil.
That's right. I believe worship is the channels for the oil to flow. Worship. And that's why we're calling for a spirit of worship. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. We sing the song, but let's do it. Every one of us, let's put it into practice. When do you want to put it into practice? Well, you start practicing at home. You start practicing in your quiet times, worshiping God. And by the way, they may quit being quiet. Some of your worship may not be quiet worship.
I would think it's a joy to not have the radio on. If you can be in your car by yourself.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's where I learned to prophesy, was driving. That's where I shouldn't say I learned to prophesy. What I did learn was to release it. I learned to be free in prophecy while I was driving, because I would go along praying in tongues and then I would interpret. I'd pray in tongues and I would interpret. I'd pray in tongues and I would interpret. You say, well, why didn't you just do it? I wasn't bold enough yet at that time. But now, you know, I know that God does exactly what He says. He says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I want you to know the oil of the gladness. And that's what we're talking about, is the oil of the Lord. And I believe you got it, brother. A heart of worship opens up the channel for the oil to flow. Amen. So they went off, and when those that were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. I told last week that I read, yes, last Sunday morning, I was looking at a news blurb in the Denver Post, and it actually said that there was a church in Denver. A lot of churches in Denver now have guards, you know. Did you know they actually have armed guards on them? And you can understand why they might do that. We have an armed guard here. I don't know if you know that or not, but we have angels standing around this place. And you know, they're stationed. They're stationed. That's right, no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Amen. But I want to tell you what this church did. When they got to starting time of the church, they locked the door. Well, it made me think about it. Brother Hagin told one time about a group of people that he had, and he said, my people just could not be on time. He said those people just wouldn't be on time. And he said, I taught them about it. And he said, they still did it. And he said, one particular night we had a song service. And he said, just when everybody came in at the end of the song service, he says, I said, well, that's it for tonight. And we prayed and we went home. And he said, they all stood there like, yeah. You know what? Sometimes we have to realize that God directs things like that. To teach us. Part of being ready is being punctual. Isn't that right? When the bridegroom came, those that were ready went in and locked the door. I don't know if you saw me put that bar in. Put a big bar on the door. The door was shut. The unwise virgins came back. And they knocked on the door. They came saying, sir, sir, open up for us. But he replied, truly, or amen, I tell you, I do not know you. Whoa! That's heavy. Now, remember, they were virgins. They had the light of God. But the Lord said, I don't know you. I don't ever want to have the Lord tell me he doesn't know me. Do you? Never, never. And so I speak all the time, I am ready. There used to be an old gospel song that says, I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. But I want to tell you something. Just wanting to be isn't the key. It's a choice. I choose to be ready. I choose to stay ready. I choose to be ready all the time. Why? Because I'm not here just for myself. And if I'm not ready, I'll be like Joseph in prison. And when the time comes for my gift to be used, what's going to happen? I'm not ready. And I've heard people do that. Well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know. Of course, there are also people that try to interpret dreams with their head. I know a lot of dream interpreters, and I have to tell you, unless the Holy Spirit quickens me to it, I don't pay much attention to people's dream interpretations. There used to be a whole book about it. Probably is. The internet's probably full of it, you know. If you see deep water, it means somebody died. If you see this, you see that. I don't know if you know it or not, but unless the Lord tells you, it's just so much conjecture. I believe in dream interpretation, but I believe it's the same way that prophecies are. They have to be by the Spirit of God. Amen? I don't want to pay any attention to it, and I sure don't want to be guilty of going around saying, well, this is what the Lord says. I don't want to speak for Him unless I know what He's saying. How about you? I don't want to do that. So the door was shut, and He replied, I don't know you. Therefore, say therefore. What's the therefore there for? Because of what's just gone before, they got shut out. Therefore, you stay ready. You stay alert. For you don't know the day nor the hour, but I can tell you this, and I'll say it again, He's always on time. He'll be here at just the right time, and He'll call for you at just the right time. There were five foolish, there were five wise, but they were all virgin, they all had light. And they all had oil. But some didn't have oil in jars. Some only had just enough to get by on. That's not ready. That's not ready. That's not prepared. Some were prepared, or you could say they were spirit-led. Spirit-led people. Some had excuses. Excuses started in the garden, remember? Adam said, that woman did it. That woman said, that serpent did it. And you know what? You don't see them saying, we repent. But God covered their sins just the same, didn't he? He covered their sins just the same. Excuses started in the garden. They were going on here. They meant to. They were going to do it. If they could have afforded it, they'd have done it. You know, people use that as an excuse. I can't afford to do what God wants me to do. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can't afford not to. Say, I can't afford not to. Amen. You can be in the right group. Listen, they were all at a wedding celebration. You can be in the right group. You could even be in the right congregation and still not be ready. You could be sitting right here today and not be ready. What am I talking about? Ready to go to heaven? Not necessarily. I'm talking about ready to be led by the Spirit. Ready to have God use you. Ready to make you what He has called you to be. Ready to exercise His gifts in you just like He did in Joseph. God wants to do that. You could be carrying a lit lamp and still not be ready. You get it? You could be going around with your lit lamp. It shows off nicely. But where's your store? Where is your reserve? Where is knowing where it comes from? And when you put that into worship, like Jeff said, that's the worship that opens up the flow, up where the flow comes. And I believe that's it. I believe that's it in Scripture. I believe the worship of God is what opens up the flow of the oil from the olive trees to the lamps. Amen. Hallelujah. When are you ready? When are you ready? What does it take to be ready? How do you get ready? You know, I remember one guy used to prophesy a lot with get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And I'm not criticizing him, but you need to know what it means to get ready. What do you do when you get ready? Well, there's a priority thing about getting ready. Did you know that? Because there's a lot of things that have demands on your life. So we got to put first things first, or come back to Matthew 6:33, which says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that's part of it, seeking God first, amen? But then I believe it means making right choices perpetually, just continually making right choices. Choosing right things, listening with God, hearing with God, making the right choice. What am I doing? I'm taking steps. I'm walking with the Father. It may not be terribly fast as far as some people are concerned, but you know what? A lot of people that run ahead end up falling down. Isn't that right? We want to stay with God. We want to move as God moves. Amen. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to stay where God wants me to be. Luke 12:40 says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. So let's do it now. Say, I'm doing it now. There's an inside change going on. Listen, you can do this without getting on your knees. You can do this without opening your Bible. Are you listening to me? You can do it now. This is something that can be done now. Shuva is something that God allows us to do. Shuva means to turn, to change, to make a directional change. You can do it instantaneously. Did you know that salvation, the thing that starts it, happens instantaneously when somebody makes the decision, the choice to turn? When they choose, it begins. Now, they may not have a great awareness of their salvation immediately, but I'm telling you, it's there. It's there for them right now. Change inside. Remember last week we talked about 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love this scripture. It says, for the eyes of Adonai range to and fro throughout the whole earth. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. There it is. The eyes of Adonai range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart keeps covenant with him. Now, I want you to see that from the King James, because in the King James, it says it a little different. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's the New King James. I meant to put in just the King James, because in the King James Version, it says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect. Say perfect. 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 Is your heart perfect? Yes, it is. I'm going to tell you, if you've made the right choices, your heart is perfect, because it does not mean perfection in that it's sinless. It means perfection in that it's complete. It means perfection in that it's shalem. Shalem means perfect, or shalom. It means there's nothing missing in it, but it also means it's ready. In fact, one of the Strong's definitions of that word shalem is made ready. Say made ready. So now if we plug that in and we say, the Lord's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is made ready. Who makes it ready? And we do. We're the ones that start the process and the Lord finishes it. Amen. Amen. That's the way it works. So we're made ready. But we have to choose that. We have to make sure we choose that. And that involves loving as Yeshua loves. We said we have to walk like he does. That's what being led by the Spirit or walking by faith is talking about. But now we've come to the place where we see we can do it. What about those that are unprepared? I've talked about the unprepared a lot. There's a lot of congregational members, not necessarily of this congregation, but of congregations that are unprepared for what's coming. They're fearful about what's coming. What can we do for them? What can be done for them? How does the Lord feel about them? Well, here's what the scripture says the Lord feels. In Luke 19:10, it says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you say if you were lost, you were unprepared? Definitely unprepared. What is he doing? He's looking for them. He's seeking them. He's saving them. What did I say about our gifts at the beginning? Our gifts need to be available because they can only use when the Lord draws them out. Isn't that right? Because the gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills, according to 1 Corinthians 12:14. His gifts operate in believers as the Lord wills. You can't make them operate, but you can keep them available. How? Be ready. Be ready. Have a heart of worship. Have a heart of choosing the right things. Keeping your mind and your thoughts fixed on the things of God. Here's what it says. God goes out to seek and to save those that are lost. Jesus does that. We're in him. Say, I'm in him. He's out seeking and saving that which is lost. I'm in him. I'm in him. So what does that mean? From time to time, while I'm in him, my gift's going to be called upon. My anointing is going to be called upon. It's going to be called upon because I'm ready. And I already have the oil. Not only have the oil to let my light shine, but I have the oil to keep it illuminated. Amen? I have the oil of the Holy Spirit being filled with the Spirit of God. Nehemiah 8:10 said, he said to them, go, eat choice food, drink sweet drinks, and send portions for those who have nothing ready. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be the one that's waiting on other people. serving other people with your readiness, with the gifts that God has given you. Today is kadosh to the Lord. This day that we live in is a holy day. Amen. You're seeing things happen prophetically, and it's like Deb said a little bit ago, how can people say they don't see the signs that are happening right now? I mean, the signs are, this is an amazing sign that Donald Trump announced that Jerusalem is the capital. Absolutely. It is an absolute prophecy, and it has to happen. It has to happen. If you begin to understand the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, you will see that these things have to happen before the end comes. They have to do it. So if you're not ready, what am I going to say next? Let's go a little further than that. If you're not ready, get ready. No excuses. If you're not ready, get ready. You say, how do I do it? Same way we do everything. We seek first the kingdom of God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We keep His word in our hearts. We focus on the things of God. If you're not ready, what are you waiting for? Get ready. Amen. Get ready. Do it now. Make a quality decision. Say a quality decision. What does that mean? It means I've weighed the choices. Listen, there's no choice in this. Get ready. That's right. Get it right now. But once you're ready, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to rest then. Well, you're always resting, but you're not going to get slothful. And you're not going to get complacent when you're ready. What are you going to do? You're going to be on the lookout for others that you can help. As the Lord seeks and saves those who are lost, you're going to help them come in. That's what Jane started the day with in her testimony. Helping someone who was wandering in their faith. That's what that is. That's wandering in faith. Not recognizing the will of God. Not recognizing the word of God. And being fearful. And I want you to know, fearful never got anything good. I said, fearful never produced anything good. So Jane helped her out of that. Through what? Ministering the word of God to her. Telling her what God's word says. Listen, be zealous. Say zealous. The zeal of God, this was first said about Yeshua. The zeal of God has consumed me. The zeal of God, zealousness. There is a word meaning in that root that means to be white hot. That's pretty hot. White hot for God. White hot for the things of God. Takes me right back to where we started. Take the coal. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Amen. Your zeal. And listen, zeal doesn't always look the same. Sometimes zeal tips over money changers' tables. Isn't that right? I think we're going to all be amazed when we see how that transpires. It didn't transpire with violence. No. It didn't transpire with people getting hurt. I don't believe there was anybody hurt. If he wanted to hurt somebody, he wouldn't have made a whip, a scourge of small cords. He would have made something a lot different. He'd have got a big stick like Teddy Roosevelt. No. He tipped over money changers' tables, and he said, the zeal of God has consumed me. The zeal of your house has consumed me. But I want you to know there's a zeal that can be in us, and there's something about zeal. Something about, have you ever been around somebody that's really zealous for the Lord? What would you say about them? Yeah, how did it affect you? It's contagious. It's contagious. It's a good kind of contagion. A good contagiousness. Amen. When somebody is excited about the things of God, I don't want to be around somebody that is blasé about God, do you? I want to be around somebody that's excited for Him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
They don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's, you know, that's where we need to speak for others.
That's right.
That, you know, the hearts of their eyes are open.
That's right. That is very good. Amen. Because many, many don't see it. You know what most people see? They see it through fear. What is the fear? Well, if you do that, there's going to be, in fact, the Muslims have already threatened it. There'll be a day of rage. I want you to know the devil's mad no matter what. That's right. That's right. Amen. It is exclusive, isn't it? It's exclusive. And Jesus is exclusive. Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. Amen. How many believe that? Well, then don't get into all this ecumenical nonsense, because there's a whole lot of it in the world today. And it's not all the same. I don't care if the bumper sticker does spell out coexist. That is the biggest lie you've ever seen. Everything's the same. Nothing's any different. Oh, no. Oh, no. Our Lord is an awesome God. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. Say it with me. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm staying ready. I'm not going to allow myself to slip. I'm going to press ahead. I'm going to continue. I'm not going to stop until Jesus comes. I'm ready, ready to do the work of the Lord, ready to be used by my God, ready to see my Lord, but ready to do what He tells me to do, ready to walk with Him in spirit and in truth, ready to let the oil flow throughout the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Ivarekaka Adonai Vayishamereka Yair Adonai Panavaleka Vikaneka. Ya Yisa Adonai Panavaleka V'yasem Laka Shalom. Yahweh blesses you. Yahweh keeps you. Yahweh makes His face shine upon you and is gracious unto you. Yahweh lifts you up in the light of His countenance. And He gives you His shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.